Masechta Shabbos begins with Meleches Hotzah. You'll see the first word on the top there, Hotzah. And the reason why Meleches Hotzah is first is either because of its complexity. It's a very, very complex melacha with many different parts, many different nuances. In fact, not only is this chapter halfway through the chapter, I would say, is dedicated to Hotzah, but we're going to have another chapter later on in Masechta Shabbos that's dedicated to Hotzah, and that's Meleches Hazorik, which means throwing something. Another reason why we start with Meleches Hotzah is because it's a very common melacha. I mean, you can't go through one Shabbos, except we have Erev today, but otherwise you can't go through Shabbos without having questions about Meleches Hotzah. So it's a very common melacha. Additionally, we're going to see soon, not today, but later on, that the Mishnah is going to deal with Hotzah from the perspective of Erev Shabbos. And in a certain sense, this melacha is the earliest of all melachas in terms of chronology, in terms of sequence. Already on Erev Shabbos, we're going to have all sorts of laws that inhibit us from carrying something, because we're afraid if you carry it on Erev Shabbos, you might forget that it's Shabbos, and you might carry it into Shabbos itself. Now, just by way of introduction, what I did today is I wrote some of the key terminology on the board. If anybody wants to jot that down, I have an extra pen here, that's up to you. Yeah. And if not, just listen to it carefully. There's Hotzah and Hachnasa, and there's Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. So those are the key concepts. And that's going to take us really through the next 8 blot Gemaras. So what we have here is a Rishus HaYochid, and don't mistakenly think that a Rishus HaYochid is something that's privately owned. You could have an area that might be Rishus HaRabim and it's privately owned. You could have a publicly owned area that might be Rishus HaYochid. But rather, Rishus HaYochid has its own definition. And as we go along, B'Linedr, we'll talk about it. The key word for Rishus HaYochid is going to be Mechitzos. Okay then, Mechitzos. And this is the key word for Sukkah, for Masechta Sukkah, for Masechta Erevin. That's Mechitzos, the walls. Now, the difference between Hotzah and Hachnasa is the fact that Hotzah means to take something out of a Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim. That's called Hotzah. So what we're going to have in that Mishnah is the Ani. The Mishnah used the word Ani as a symbol of someone who's out there in Rishus HaRabim. He's knocking on the door of the Balabayas, of the Ashir. The Balabayas is inside a Rishus HaYochid. And here we have the difference between Hotzah and Hachnasa. In the case of the Ani, which is the first case in our Mishnah, when he's taking an object and he's putting it inside, into the Rishus HaYochid, that's called Hachnasa. It's very fascinating. The Mishnah starts with Hachnasa. Hachnasa is probably what we call a Toldah, but we could talk about that in a different time. In any event, Hotzah would be when the Balabayas, who's inside the Rishus HaYochid, takes the object and puts it outside in the hands of the Ani, and that's called Hotzah because it's going from Rishus HaYochid out into Rishus HaRabim. So these are pretty much the most important terms. Now we have to get to Hotzah itself. Hotzah itself, or Hachnasa for that matter, is made up of 3 parts. And you have to know this. There are no shortcuts. There's Akira, there's Hotzah, or Shini Rishus, and there's Hanocha. So Akira means when you uproot the object from a certain place, that place has to be a secure place, which is called a Makom Hanocha. The Akira means you lift it up, and then you carry it from one Rishus to the other, and then you put it down in the other Rishus. That's called Hanocha. If any of these 3 parts are missing, then as far as the Torah law is concerned, you have not violated the Malacha. However, they're going to be rabbinic prohibitions, the Rabbanans, if you did the Akira without the Hanocha, if you did the Hanocha without the Akira. Now, all of these 3 require what's called action, a Maisa. We're going to see in our Mishnah that there's certain cases where either the Ani or the Balabais is not involved in an action at all. He's totally passive. For example, the Ani takes an object. He's standing where? Everybody, in Rishus HaRabim, correct? Rishus HaRabim. He stretches his arm out into a Rishus HaYochid, and he puts it down
into the hand of the balabais, who's standing or sitting in Rishus Hayochid. Excellent. In that case, if the balabais is totally passive, he just puts his hand out to receive the object, he didn't grab it, he didn't take it, he didn't walk with it, then the balabais is not chayef at all, not even mirabbanan. Mirabbanan, there's going to be an iser if there's an akira without a hanocha or a hanocha without an akira. So let's learn the Mishnah and then we'll see how these concepts hopefully become more familiar to us as we go along. Now I warn you that they give me a certain amount of time here, so it's going to be a fast-paced shia, and I can't necessarily answer all your questions. Anyone who wants to leave their questions for the end is good. If you have a pressing question in the middle, then I'll leave it to my own jurisdiction whether I handle that question or not. Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. Rashi already points out that the word Yitzios here is Hotzos. And what the Mishnah is doing, it's calculating all the various possibilities of Hotzah. And Rashi is going to tell us that the reason why the Mishnah used the word Yitzia when it really should have used the word Hotzah is because of a pasuk. Later on, and we're going to talk about a pasuk called Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo. So that's called Yetze Ish Mimkomo. But in any event, the word Yitzios is the general word that includes both Hotzah and Hachnosa. And as I said before, in fact, the first case in all the scenarios in the Mishnah is going to be a case of Hachnosa, where the Ani is putting his hand into Rishus HaYochid and taking the object, as it were, from Rishus HaRav and putting it into Rishus HaYochid, and that's called Hachnosa. And the Mishnah goes on to tell us that Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shehen Arba Bifnim Ushtayin Shein Arba Bachutz. Now, what this means is we're going to have a whole bunch of scenarios. If you count the scenarios listed in the Mishnah, there are actually 8 scenarios. 2 which become 4, and another 2 which become 4. The 2 which become 4 are for the sake of the Ani, and the 2 which become 4 again is for the sake of the balabai. So the Ani could violate 2 da'orises, 2 violations of complete meleches otzah. One is going to be achnasa and the other is going to be otzah, as we'll soon see. And then he's got 2 violations of a derabbanan, where he participates together with the balabais in a hotzah. But the hotzah in that case of a derabbanan is accomplished by both of them together. And that's called ze oker vezemeniach, that one picks it up and one puts it down. Again, when I say put it down, I mean actively put it down. And we'll see the case in just a minute. Now, what's the second Shtayim Shein Arba? That's going to be for the balabai. So the first Shtayim Shein Arba is going to be for the Ani. And the Ani is going to be chai for both Hotzon and Hachnosa on a Doraisa level, and both Hotzon and Hachnosa on a Durabonon level. So that's called Shtayim Shein Arba. Then we have another Shtayim Shein Arba, which is for the balabais who's standing inside in the Rishus HaYochid. Ketzad. So the Mishnah asks, how can you have these Shtayim Shein Arba and Shtayim Shein Arba? So first we start with case number one. Case number one is going to be Hachnosa. Ha'ani Omed Bachutz. The Ani is standing in the Rishus HaRabim. U'Balabayis Bifnim. The Balabayis, otherwise known as the Ashir, he's standing on the inside in Rishus HaYochid. Poshad Ha'ani Es Yodo. The Ani is holding on to an object, and he stretches his arm out lifnim into the Rishus HaYochid V'nasan L'toch Yodo Shel Balabayis. Now keep in mind, we're talking now about a Chiyuv D'oraisa of Hachnosa on the part of the Ani. So it means that the Balabayis is totally passive. So when you see the words in the Mishnah L'toch Yodo Shel Balabayis, it means the Balabayis is standing inside the Rishus HaYochid with his hand stretched out. He doesn't grab onto the object, he doesn't do anything active, he rather is totally passive. So now there's a malacha shlema, a complete malacha, otherwise known as a malacha gemura, a complete malacha that was achieved by the Ani, because the Ani did a complete hachnasa. He did the akira, which he picked up the object in Rishus HaRavim. He did a Shina Rishus the moment that he stretches his arm out into the Rishus HaYachid. As soon as he traverses the border of Rishus HaYachid, he has done the Shina Rishus. And now he puts it down into the hand of the Baal Bayis inside, and that is a complete malacha of Hachnasa. Okay, Menasa Lutoch Yodo Shel Baal Bayis. Oh. Now the word O here is going to introduce a second scenario. Again, it's the Ani who's the subject, and he is achieving a Doraisa, complete Malacha, but in this case he's doing a Hotzah. How does the Ani do a Hotzah? He says, Natal Mitocha. He stretches an empty hand into the Rishus of the Baal Bayis, which is the Rishus HaYochid. And the Baal Bayis is standing there totally passive with an object in his hands, Natal Mitocha. The Ani takes the object out of the hands of the Baal Bayis, Vehotzi. So when he grabs it out of the hands, he lifts it out of the hands of the Baal Bayis. At that point he does an Akira. Then Vahotzi takes his hand over the Rishus HaRabim into the boundary of Rishus HaRabim, over the Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. That's called Hotzah. And then we don't know exactly what he does with it. Let's make life easy for ourselves and let's assume that he puts the object down on the ground in Rishus HaRab. That's going to be Shtayim, in which the Ani did a Malacha Gemura, and therefore he's chayav, again, for any Malacha Shabbos, if you did it B'mezid with Hasra, it's over the Achayav Skila, it's a very severe punishment. If you did it B'shogeg, he forgot it was Shabbos, etc., etc., then he brings a Karma Chatas. And that's what it says over here in our Mishnah, that in these two cases are Ani Chayev u'Baal Bayis Potter. Now we're going to have a whole sugya on Daf Gimel about the word Potter here, because the word Potter here as an exception to all the rules that apply to Masechta Shabbos. This is the only exception. Actually, I don't want to confuse you, there are two exceptions, but let's assume this is the only exception where the word Potter means Mutter. Mutter means that he doesn't even violate an Issa Drabanan, because again, whenever someone does a Malacha Gemura, a complete Malacha, it means the other one did nothing, he was totally passive, and therefore he didn't even violate a Drabanan. That's called Potter Mutter. Generally speaking, the word Potter means Asur Min Rabanan, but here's the exception to the rule. Okay, now we're going to shift our emphasis over to the Baal Bayis. Poshad Baal Bayis says Yodo Luchutz. Now we're going to come up with two cases where the Baal Bayis completes a full Malach of Hotzah. And actually we're going to start with the Malach of Hotzah, which means it's going from the Rishus HaYochid out into the Rishus HaRabim. The Baal Bayis is standing in the Rishus HaYochid. He has an object in his hands. He stretches his arm out to the Ani. Litoch Yodo Shel Ani. The Ani is totally passive. So he just simply, the Baal Bayis simply puts the object down in the hands of the Ani. The Ani is standing where? In Rishus HaRabim. So since he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, the Asher, otherwise known as the Baal Bayis, has now completed a Maleches Hotzah. Oh, here's another case where the Baal Bayis completes the entire Maleches Hotzah on his own, single-handedly. Natal Mitocha. The Baal Bayis in this case stretches out an empty hand, grabs an object out of the hands of the Ani. The Ani, standing out in Rishus HaRabim, is totally passive. He's got an object in his hands. Vehichnis. And now the Baal Bayis, after he grabs the object from the hand of the Ani, out in Rishus HaRabim, he takes his hand and he pulls the object back into Rishus HaYochid. He has now completed Meleches Hachnasa. Baal Bayis Chayev Ani Potur. The Baal Bayis has done a Malacha Shlema of Hachnasa, and the Ani is Potur. What does the word Potur mean? Mutter. He doesn't do anything. There's no participation here. And that's the Shtayim and Shtayim. Now we have Shein Arba, and those are cases where the Baal Bayis and the Ani participate together and a partnership where one of the two is going to do the Akira, the other is going to do the Hanocha. Let's go through the various scenarios. The Mishnah says the following. Pashat ha'ani es yado. Lifnim. So again, we go back to the first case that we had. The ani is standing outside in the Rishus HaRabim. He picks up an object, therefore he did the Akira. He stretches his hand out into the Rishus HaYachid. That's called Lifnim. So now he's done. If you break up the Malach into three parts, what fraction of the Malach has he done now?
Two thirds.
Mm-hmm. But the third third is not Al HaBalabayis Mitocha. The Balabayis actively made the Hanocha. He took the object from the hand of the Ani and he put it down inside the Rishus HaYachid. Mm-hmm. And again, in this case, we're going to have a participation in which the Ani did the Akira and the Hotzos Rishus, meaning the Shita Rishus, and the Baal Bais did the Hanocha. Both of them will be culpable for a violation of a Durabbanon. Oh, here's another case. Shenasan Litocha. Here's a case where the Ani stretches his hand out and there's nothing in his hand. And he puts his hand into the Rishus HaYochid. The Baal Bais picks up the object and puts it into the hand of the Ani. What has the Baal Bais achieved the moment he picks up the object and puts it into the hand of the Baal Bais?
Akira,
excellent. That's called an Akira. Now, the Ani does the Hachnasa, or in this case, actually, technically, it's Hotzah, right? He takes it out into the Rishus HaRabim, and he puts it down. So once again, the Ani did two-thirds of the Malacha. In the first case, the Ani did the Hachnasa, and the Baal Bais did the Hanocha. In the second case, the Baal Bais did the Akira, and the Ani did the Hanoch. In both cases, Shneim Peturim. But here, my friends, the word Peturim means what it classically means in all of Masechta Shabbos. It means Potter Aval Asur, meaning they both violated an Issur Drabbanan. So once again, the principle of that Mishnah that underlies that Mishnah is that if you do Akira, Shini Rishus, and then Hanocha, Yechayv Achatos, if you did it B'Shogeg. If one did the Akira and the other did Hanocha, together they did a Malacha, but each one did half of the Malacha. Let's talk about Akira and Hanocha. Then they both have violated a Durabbanon. Now we go to the second Shein Arma.
What if they do it with the Avad?
Then they get what's called Makas Mardus. That's for violation of an Issur Drabbanon. Now we have the second case of Shehen Arba. Shehen Arba is Pashat Baal Bais's Yodo. The Baal Bais did the Akira inside the Rishus HaYochid. Not only that, but he stretches his arm out with an object inside of it, in his hand, Lachutz, out to the Rishus HaRabim. V'natal ha'oni mitocha. And the Ani does the Hanocha. Oh, in the opposite case, the case is that the Baal Bais stretches out an empty. I'm sorry, just 1 second. The first, not Baal Bais, you see the Pasha Baal Bais Yodok Shevelim, right? Oh, Pasha Baal Bais is Yodo. The Baal Bais stretches his arm out to Rishus HaRabim and there's nothing in his hand. V'nasan Lisocha. The Ani places the object into the hands of the outstretched arm of the Baal Bais. That's called the Ani did what?
Akira.
He did the Akira. Vehichnis, the Baal Bais now takes the object into Rishus HaYochid. In that case, he does the Achnasa. Shneim Peturim. Neither of them did a complete Malacha. One did the Akira and one did the Hanocha. Okay, that's the Mishnah. And they're both liable to Rabbanon. So again, there are going to be two Doraises of the Ani, that's Shtayim. There are going to be two Doraises of the Baal Bais, that's another Shtayim. In both cases, the Ani did Achnasa Shlema, or a Hotzah Shlema, he's Chayav Achatos, same for the Baal Bais. And then we have Shein Arba, another four scenarios, in which there was Zeh Oker v'Zeh Miniach, and each one is Chayav a Durabbanon.
Can I ask a question on the very first case?
Let's hold on just for a few minutes, if you can. I just want to get the flow of the Gemara, because we're really getting, this is like breaking something you know, breaking into something new. And then we'll take questions. What the Gemara is going to do now is quote a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. The Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos, at the very beginning of the Masechta, has this Shtayim Shein Arba. And it's going to have Shtayim Shein Arba for Shavua. It's going to have Shtayim Shein Arba for Tuma. It's going to have Shtayim Shein Arba for Negoyim. And finally, it's going to have Shtayim Shein Arba for Meleches Hotzah. However, and this is what's going to bother the Gemara, the Mishnah, when it gets to Hotzah, only has Shtayim Shein Arba. In our Mishnah, again addressing Hotzah, we have a double Shtayim Shein Arba. And the Gemara is going to point out this differentiation between our Mishnah and try to figure out why our Mishnah has Shtayim Shein Arba and again Shtayim Shein Arba, whereas the Mishnah in Shavuos only has Shtayim Shein Arba. So let's read the Mishnah in Shavuos. And we'll go through the four cases of the Mishnah in Shavuos. Tanan Hosom, we learned in the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. So what we really have to do now is read a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Hey. The pasuk says, Nefesh kisi shava levatei besfasayim lahara olehetiv vehevias hashomu lashem. What's happening here is that a person took an oath and he violated his oath. As a result, the Torah says he has to bring a karban asham. Now, just to say a word or two about the karban for violating a shvua, and what we're learning is what's called a shvuas bitui, we can write that down if you like, is a karban ola v'yored. Now, what's unique about a karban ola v'yored is that it depends on your financial capacity. If everything is fine and you have a Baruch Hashem, you were blessed with a fine bank account, then you bring what's called a kivsa or a se'ira. You bring either a sheep or you bring a goat. That's considered a very expensive animal. Somebody told me that you have to pay for a goat today upwards of 5,000 shekels. So that's an expensive karban. Now, if you can't afford that, then we give you the option of what's called shtei torim or shnei bnei yonah, which means you can bring two turtle doves or two doves. And that's the way. If you're really, really poor, down and out, then you bring what's called Asiris Ha'efa Solis Lemincha. That's the low. So that's called a Karban Ola. Ola means it goes up if you're capable. Yared, it goes down if you're not financially capable. Now, the key words in the pasuk that I just read to you are Lahara Ola Hativ. What does it mean, Lahara Ola Hativ? What we're talking about is a shvua le'asid. A shvua means when you obligate yourself with an oath to do something in the future. For example, you say, I take an oath that I will eat this loaf of bread. Now, if I take an oath that I will eat the loaf of bread, that's called lahat lehetiv. Lehetiv means for my benefit. I will get physical pleasure from fulfilling my oath. Lahara is just the opposite, where you took an oath that you won't eat a loaf of bread. Denying yourself, that's called lahara. And that is a shvua of affliction on yourself. So that's called shtayim. Shtayim means those are the two categories of shvua that are written explicitly in the Torah. But then it says, shehein arba. Shehein arba means that he violated a shvua not for the future. In other words, not the cases of lahara lehetiv, where he took an oath he will eat and he didn't eat, or he took an oath he won't eat and then he did eat, but rather he's taking an oath on the past. Al sha'avar, it's called. And it was a false oath. For example, he said, I didn't eat, I swear to you I didn't eat it. You know, let's say he was accused of a crime. He says, I swear to you I didn't eat this loaf of bread. That's called lahara l'sha'avar. Achalti v'lo achal. He says, if he takes another shvuah, and he says he takes a shvuah that he did eat something in the past, you know, who's the one who ate it? He says, I'll take a shvuah that I ate it, but in truth he didn't eat it. And once again, he's chayv a karban for a false shvuah. So let me make the following point, and if you can note this, in both cases of Shtayim and Arba, he violates a complete Da'oraisa of Shvuah Sheker, and he's Chayav a Karban. And the reason I emphasize this is we're talking about four different cases of Da'oraisa. The difference is that the first two cases, Al Ha'asid, where he says, I will eat, or I won't eat, and he violates his Shvuah, those cases are explicit in the Torah. Lahara Olehetiv. The other two cases are derived from what we call a ribui. That's an inclusion in the pasuk, and that's called al sha'avar. When he swears that he ate it, but he didn't eat it. He swears that he didn't eat it, but he really did eat it. So shtayim shein arba only addresses d'oraisa. Now we turn to daf beis amid beis. Here too on daf beis amid beis, we continue in the same parasha in Vayikra Perek Hei. And the Mishnah at the beginning of Shavuos tells us, Yedios Hatuma Shtayin Shein Arba. Now, in order to appreciate this phrase, Yedios Hatuma, which means he's aware of the fact that he's Tomei, we have to talk about two different possibilities. The Torah prohibits someone who's Tomei, who's contracted Tumah, he's contaminated, we'll use that word, in two different prohibitions. One prohibition is that he's not allowed to enter into the base HaMikdash. The second prohibition is that he's not allowed to eat Kodshim. And let me read to you the Pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Vayikra Perkei, O nefesh asher tiga b'chol dover tome, v'nela mimenu v'u tome v'yashem. So we're talking about a person who came in contact with the dover tome. And again, in Masechet Shabbos, we'll have a lot about Tumah V'Tara. It's amazing, you know, Olos is not part of the Daf Yomi, but it's part of Masechet Shabbos. So for example, let's say a person walked into an ohel, a tent, a house where there's a dead corpse, or he touched a dead corpse out in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, and that's called an Avat Tumah. So in such a case, the Torah says that if he forgets about the fact that he's Tomei, and that's called Vinela Mimenu, and then V'Ashem. And the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Masechet Shavuos that what is V'Ashem? What is he guilty of? One of two possibilities. Either he entered into the Beis HaMikdash, and again it's a Shoge case, he wasn't aware of the fact that he was Tomei at that moment, or he ate Kodshim, both in the state of Tumah. And the Torah says once again, he brings what's called a Karban Asham, otherwise known as a Karban Ola V'Yoreh, as we discussed earlier. The Gemara further darshins that he's not chayav a karban unless at some point in time, we'll call it T1, he was aware of the fact that he was tameh. He knows at one point of his life that he contracted tumah. And then he forgot about it. And then he walked into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of tumah, or he ate kodshim in the state of tumah. So we have now two different types of violations for which he's chayav a karban, and that would be either if, again, he went into the Beis HaMikdash tomei, or he ate kodshim in the state of tumah, and he had forgotten that he was tomei when he did this. Now, what's the shtayim shein arba? The shtayim shein arba means the following: that you can have two different scenarios of a shogeg who was tomei and inadvertently, unintentionally, he walked into the Mikdash, or he ate kodshim. What are these two possibilities? Well, the first possibility is explicit in the Torah, and that's called v'nela mimenu v'hu tomei, and that means that we're talking about a person who entered into Shogeg, into the Mikdash for Shogeg, then he finds out that he was Tomei. However, the Gemara has a special drasha from a Ribui HaKosuv, that's in the Gemara in Shavuos, to include even in a case where he was aware of his Tumah, but at the moment that he went into the Beis HaMikdash, at the moment he went and he ate Kodshim, he forgot about the fact that he was Tomei. So we have what's called Vinela Mimenu, which means Mitchiloso, from the beginning he was unaware of the fact that what he came in contact with was Tumah. And then we have another case, which is where he knew he was Tameh initially, and then he forgot about the fact that he was Tameh. And in both of these cases, we have A, where he went into the Migdash Bishogeg, or B, when he ate Kodshim Bishogeg. So we have Shtayim Shein Arba. Shtayim means the case of Venela Mimenu, and he walked into the Migdash, or Venela Mimenu, he ate Kodshim. Shein Shtayim means where he knew he was Tameh, and he knew that he had contracted tumor, but then he forgot about it later, and he went into the Beis HaMikdash, or he ate Kodshim Bishogeg. Now we get to the third case. Yediel Satuma, Shtayin Shein Arba. We're talking again about a parsha at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra that has to do with Tuma Vitara. And again, we're talking about a karmon ole v'yored because of Tuma. Shtayin Shein Arba. Two which are explicit in the Torah, and two which are implicit in the Torah. The Torah says, "Venela mimenu again vehu tameh," and therefore he is considered. I'm repeating myself when I say Yedias Hatuma. Now we're up to Maris Negoim. My mistake. So we have Maris Negoim Shnayim Shein Arba, two cases that are explicit in the Torah, and two that are derived from a ribui. Negoim fall into three different categories, my friends. There's what's called Nigei Aguf, and then it's called Nigei Batim, and finally we have what's the third case of Nigei of Tzaras? Is what? I can't hear you. What? Begadim. Excellent. So what we're talking about now is Nigei Aguf. We're talking about Tzaras. A person who has a, let's call it for argument's sake, a pathological phenomenon, a dermatological phenomenon. It's not really pathological, it's really supernatural, it's not natural. But what does he have? What exactly does he have? So we have to learn a pasuk. The pasuk itself says the following. It says, Se'es O sapachas. Just one second, let me just read the pasuk to you. It says, so where's the pasuk here? Yeah, you have a chumash here. Maybe we'll open up the chumash in the meantime. So anyway, the Torah gives us three categories of maris negoim. And one of them is called sapachas. Mm-hmm. Now the word sapachas in the Torah means an extension. And that's based on a pasuk in Shmuel Anovi says safchani. Safchani means an extension. It's something that's basic and then an extension. Oh, so I left out the word baheres. So the Torah speaks about se'es, baheres, and sapachas. These are three different kinds of phenomenon on the body. What we have here is two shtayim that are explicit in the Torah. That's called baheres or se'es. I'll just read to you the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara says that baheres is levana kisheleg. It's white like the snow. And then we have the case of se'es, which is kitsemer lavan, which is white like wool. Now, each one of these two are explicit in the Torah. Then we have sapachas, which tells me that each one has a tolda. So the tolda is a little bit less white than the original. So in the case, for example, of baheres, which we said is white like the snow, its tolda, which is derived from sapachas, is levana kisid. It's a little bit like similar to this white. You know, it's not exactly cement. I think it's, how do you say sid in English? Plaster, mm-hmm. I think it's called. Plaster, yeah. And then we have sapachas of se'es. Se'es, we said, was white like the fleece, you know, like the like the tzemer, the wool on the back of the sheep. And it's told, it's called kikrum ha-beitza. And Rashi quotes this all over here, Dira Maschil, Shein Arba. Kruma Beitza means that part, when you crack open the, when you, let's say you peel a boiled egg, you'll see it's got a membrane that's around it. So that's Shtayim Shein Arba. Now we get to the main point of the Mishnah Shavuos. And that is Yitzios HaShavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. That in Hotzah, Mirshus Lushus on Shabbos, we have Shtayim Shein Arba. That's the end of the quote for the Mishnah. The Gemara asks the following question. Maishna hocha shtayin shein arba bifnim detonim. It says in our Mishnah, shtayin shein arba bifnim u shtayin shein arba bechutz. In other words, we have a double shtayin shein arba. Do you notice that? U maishna hasam, and why is it that in the Mishnah, the beginning of Shavuos, detonim shtayin shein arba visulo? It doesn't say anything more. Shtayim Shein Arba. So in other words, the Mishnah at the beginning of Shavuos is abridged. So the Gemara immediately answers, well, Hacha De'ikar Shabbos Hu, here at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, this is where we're dealing with the laws of Shabbos, and the Mishnah is addressing the definition of Alecha Es Hotzah, and therefore it's going to be more elaborate, more detailed. Tani Ovos, but Tani told us. Hasam, I'll get back to Tony Ovis, Tony told us in just a minute. Hasam, there at the Mishnah at the beginning of Shavuos, the Lav Iker Shabbosu, that's not really the place to deal with Shabbos. Just so the Mishnah gathered together four different dinim of Shtayim Shein Arba. One was Shavuos, the other was Yediyah Satuma, the third was Maris Legom, the fourth was Otsah. Is Ovos Tony, Toldos Lo Tony. So let's talk about the Ovos and the Toldos for a minute. Now at this point in the Gemara, which is going to backtrack in a minute, but the Gemara right now thinks that in our Mishnah, at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, we're going to deal with both Hotzah, which is the Av, and Hachnasa, which is the Toldah. Now again, if we had more time, maybe at the end of the shiur, if we still have 5 minutes, I'll try to explain to you why Hotzah, when you take something from Rosh Hashanah Yochanan and you take it out into Rosh Hashanah, why that's called the Av. And that has to do with Mishkan. All the laws of Shabbos are derived from Mishkan. And all 39 Avos Melachos, there are 39 in the Mishnah at the beginning of Klal Gadol. It's actually not in the middle of Klal Gadol, in the seventh parak. All of those Avos are in the Mishkan. Toldos are derivatives. And when we get to Meleches Hotzah, then Meleches Hotzah in the Mishkan was called Hotzah. The people took their contributions for the Mishkan from the Ohel, which is a Rishus HaYachid. They brought it out to what's called a Machne Leviyah, where Moshe was accepting the gifts, which is a Rishus HaRavim. That's called Hotzah. The Gemara at the beginning of Hazorek has a very famous statement, which is very essential to Otso, which is called Mali Yule Mali Lafuke. That logically we're going to derive Hachnasa, because it makes no difference. The essence of the Malacha is what we call Shinu Rishus, taking it from one Rishus to the other. It doesn't matter whether you did the Akira in a Rishus HaYachid, and you did the Anoch in Rishus HaRabim, that's the Av that was done in the Mishkan, or the opposite, the Akir is done in the Rishus HaRabim, like the case of the Oni, and he takes his hand and puts it into Rishus HaYochid, which is called Achnosa, that's called the Tolda. The Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos, because it's not the Iker Shabbos, is not dealing with what? It's not dealing with Toldos. It's exclusively dedicated to Avos. So what you're going to have is, in the case of the Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos, you're going to have Hotzos, only Hotzos, because only Hotzah is the Ah. So you're going to have one Hotzah of the Balabayas, one Hotzah of the Oni. So how do you get a Hotzah of the Oni? It means he stretches an empty hand into the Rishus HaYachid, picks up the object from the hands of the Balabayas, takes it out into Rishus HaRabim. That's going to be Hotzah of the Oni. The Hotzah of the Baal Bais is going to be where he picks it up in his Rishus HaYochid, stretches his arm out into Rishus HaRabim and puts it down in the hands of the Ani out in Rishus HaRabim. That's going to be Hotzah of the Baal Bais. And then the Gemara says, Shehen Shtayim, which means that there are going to be two cases of Hotzah in which both the Ani and the Asher participate. So let's say, for example, the Ani stretches an empty hand into the Rishus HaYachid, and the Baal HaBayis takes the object and does an Akira, and he puts it into the hand of the Ani pulls it out. That's called a Hotzah, in which the Ani, the Baal HaBayis did the Akira, and the Ani did the Hanocha. And then you can have the reverse, where the Baal HaBayis takes an object out of Rishus HaYochid, which he does the Akira, gives it over to the hands of the Ani out Rishus HaRabim. The Ani actually grabs it from his hand in such a way that the Ani completes the Hotzah. But since they both participate in Hotzah, they're both in violation of a Doraisa. Our mission at the beginning of Shabbos, is Iker Shabbos, is interested in both what? The Av and the Tolda. So we're going to have two cases of the Av of Hotzah, we're going to have two cases of the Av of Hachnosa, and then we're going to have two Derabbanans of these two Av and Told of Hotzah and Hachnosa. Gemara says, Avos my new, what is the Av of Meleches Hotzah? Yitzios. Yitzios means when you take the object from a Rishus HaYochid out into a Rishus HaRabim. So Gemara says, the Yitzios Trey Havyon. In other words, there's in terms of a complete malacha of Hotzah, you're going to have only two. You're going to have Hotzah of the Ani, and you're going to have Hotzah of the Baal HaBayis. So what does it mean, Shein Arba? We have to understand, again, in the Mishnah, in Masechet Shavuos, we're abridged. We're only interested in the Av malacha, which is Hotzah. So we have shtayim, meaning the Ani could be guilty of Hotzah, the Asher could be guilty of Hotzah. So what's Shehein Arba? The Chitim, you're going to tell me, Shehein Arba means Mehem Liftar, meaning that in these two cases, there's going to be a participation, as we said before, and therefore we're introducing what? What kind of Avera, Rabbeinu say, in the case of participation of Zeh or Kiv Zeh Miniach, what kind of a violation are we up to? Eiter Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, I'm not happy with that. Vadum Yedimaros Negoim Ktoni. Ktoni means, it says in the Mishnah, Maros Negoim, and then from Maros Negoim we go over to what? To Otzah Shabbos. Mahasam, just like in the case of Maros Negoim, is Kulo Lechiyuva. The Shtayim Shein Arab of Maros Negoim, which we said was Se'es and Baheres plus Sapachas of each one of them, they're all Doraisa. And if they forgot their Tumah, for example, they went into the Beis HaMikdash or they coached him, they're all Chayva Karma. It's all Doraisa. Is Afhacha here too? Kulo Lechiyuva. Everything should be a violation of a Doraisa. So that in the Mishnah in Shmuel's, by virtue of what I call symmetry, right, these are, you know, many of the rules that apply to understanding a Mishnah, like literature. The literature of the Mishnah is such that there's always going to be an equation between the two scenarios in the Mishnah. So just like in the case of Maris Negoim, we're talking about Doraisas, so too in the case of what? Of Shabbos, of Melechus Hotzah, we're talking about Doraisas. Well, if you're limited to the Av, then you can only have two possible scenarios, one of the Ani, one of the Baal HaBayis, of a Chiyuv Doraisa. All the other Hotzahs, of taking the object from Rishus HaRabim out into the Rishus HaYachid, are going to be Derabbanan, where there's a Zeh Oker, Zeh Meiniach of participation. Elam, Rav Papa, so Rav Papa says you have to sharpen it up a little bit. Hachadika Shabbosu Tanei Chiyuvei Upturei. Here in Masechta Shabbos, which is the Ikar, the main primary goal is to teach us the laws of Meleches Hotzah. The Mishnah is going to tell us not only the Chiyuvim Deoraisa, but also it's going to tell me the Chiyuvim Derabbanan, where there's a Zeh Oker Zeh Meiniach. That's called Chiyuvei Upturei. So the Tana of our Mishnah at the beginning of Shabbos is going to give us the following scenarios. It's going to give us scenarios of both Doraisa and scenarios of Zeh Oker Zeh Meiniach for participation, which is only Derabbanan Hasam, the Lav Iker Shabbos. But there, that the Melechus Hotzon Shvu in Masechta Shvuos is only coming through the back door is Chiyuve Tani Upture Lo Tani. It's only going to list the Doraisas and a full-fledged Chiyuv Chatos for a complete Melech. It's going to omit any mention of the Drabonons. So the Gemara now says, let's work it out. Chiyuve Mainihu. So what would be the scenarios for which your Chayuv is Yitzios? Well, Yitzios Tarti Havyon. In other words, if you're talking only about Hotzah, which is the Av Malacha, which you take the object from a Rishus HaYochan and you place it down in Rishus HaRabim, is then Yitzios Tarti Havyon. You're only going to get two, and then if you add the Drabonins, you can get up to four, but the Mishnah says Shtayim Shein Arba, Shtayim Shein Arba, which means we double it from four to eight. So the Gemara answers that not only is our Mishnah interested in the two Hotzos and also the Drabonons of Hotzos, but not only that, it's interested also in the Tolda. The Tolda was what? Hachnosa Ishtayim Dotsa Ushtayim De Hachnosa. We're going to have two Doraisas of full-fledged Malacha, one on the part of the Ani, the other on the part of the Valbais in Hotzah. And then we're going to have two derabbanans of Hotzah, where the Hotzah was done with two participants, the Ani and the Baal Bais. Either the Ani did the Akira and the Baal Bais Lanocha, or the reverse. And then we're going to have two Doraises of full-fledged Melechus, but now we're dealing with the Told of Achnosa. So the Gemara says, is it really true that our Mishnah at the beginning of Shabbos is dealing with the Tolda, which is called Achnosa, v'hayitzios kintani? The opening word in the Mishnah is Yitzios. Yitzios meaning when you take something out from Rishus HaYochin and you put it down in Rishus HaRabim, that's called Hotzah. Where do you see Achnosa? Amar Rav Ashi, Tana, our Mishnah, Hachnosa Nami Hotzah Karile. Our Mishnah uses the word Hotzah, but the word Hotzah is a generic term that includes not only Hotzah literally, which means you take it out to Rishus HaRabim, it also includes what? Hachnasa, you take it into the Rishus HaYochid. That's called Hachnasa. And Rashi points out that perhaps the reason why our Mishnah uses the word Hotzah instead of Yitzhah instead of Hotzah is because of a pasuk in Chumash, which we're going to have a lot to talk about, Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo B'Yom HaShabbos, which the Gemara is going to debate in Masechta Erevin, whether that's a reference to Tchumin. Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo means he shouldn't go beyond 2,000 Amah from the city, or Al Yetzei means Al Yotzi, he shouldn't take something out. So since the Torah itself, when it prohibits the Malach itself, it mentions Yitzios, therefore the Mishnah always follows the language of the Bible. Right? That's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh to parallel Torah Shebichsav. So therefore the word Yitziah is used in our Mishnah, but the word Yitziah includes also Achnasa. Mimai, the Gemara says, how do I prove to you that our Mishnah uses the word Hotzah, right? Yitziah. And it refers even to Achnosa. Midasnan, it says in our Mishnah, Hamotzi Rishus Lishus Chayav. This is a Mishnah later on in Periklal Gadol, the seventh Perik of Shabbos. And it says, Hamotzi Rishus Lishus Chayav. Now, wait a second. What does it mean, Hamotzi Rishus Lishus? It sounds like you're talking about Hotzah. But yet, Milo Askinon, isn't this a case? Ma'ayil, that he's taking something inside. Ma'ayil means taking it from the out inside. Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid. He's taking it from Rishus HaRabim, and he's taking it out inside, right? Ma'ayil means inside, into Rishus HaYochid. Well, guess what? That's called Achnasa, when you take something from Rishus HaRabim, and you bring it into Rishus HaYochid. V'kakarile, and nevertheless, the Mishnah used the word Hotzah. So you see that the word Hotzah is a generic term and includes both Hotzah and Achnasa, both the Av and the Tolda. And the Gemara now clarifies. V'taima mai, why does the Mishnah expect me to understand that Yitziah means both Hotzah and Achnasa? How do I define the word Yitziah in a generic way, in a general way, that it should include both? And the answer is, Kol Akiras Chefetz Mimkomo. Anytime you pick up the object from one place and you put it down in another place, meaning from one rishus to the other, it doesn't matter which direction. Tana, the Tana of that Mishnah, Hotsa Karile, he calls it Hotsa. So the word Hotsa is an all-inclusive term. It means you took it from one rishus to the other. Amar Avino Masnisa Nami Deka. I'm going to be medayek carefully from our Mishnah that Achnasa is called Hotsa. The Katani Yitzios. The opening word in that Mishnah is Yitzios. And yet the very first scenario of the various scenarios is Kamafar. She explains it as Achnasa. Le'alta means immediately. Immediately talks about the case where the Ani picks up the object out in Rishus HaRabim, puts his hand into Rishus HaYochid, places the object down in the hands of the Balabayis, and that's called Achnasa. So it's very odd that the Mishnah opens up with Yitzia and starts with Achnasa. The Ketzad links up from Yitzia to Achnasa, Shmamino. You see clearly that Yitzia means Achnasa as well. Rava Omar, Rav has a different take on the word Yitzia, in such a way that he can explain why the word Yitzia could include even Hachnasa, Rishuyos Katani. What the Mishnah has in mind when it uses the word Yitzios is Yitzios Rishuyos. It means taking it out of a Rishus. And Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim. With regard to Shabbos, we have two Rishuyos. We have Rishus HaYochin and a Rishus HaRabin. Omale Rav Masna Labaye, Rav Masna has a problem. Hatamne Havid. Havyon, how could it be that the Mishnah says that you only have a maximum of 8 scenarios? Tarte Srei Havyon. In truth, if you count it up, you'll end up with 12. Not 8, but 12. Why? Because in addition to the 4 different cases in which you're chayav at the beginning of the Mishnah, right, those are the two chiyuvim of the Ani who has both Hotsa and Hachnasa, and the two chiyuvim of the Baal Bais who has both Hotsa and Hachnasa. In addition, we have the second part of the Mishnah, which is Shein Arba and Shein Arba, and that includes another four cases. So there's going to be 4 cases, with 4 scenarios in which there's an Akira and a Hanocha that split between the Ani and the Balabayis in Hautsa and Achnasa. Well, guess what? In each one of those 4 cases, you have 2 participants. So you have Shtayim and Shtayim, which is 4, and then you have the other 4 cases, but now we double the amount of people who are involved in the violation, because now we have both the Balabayis and the Ani, Zeh Okir v'Zeh Meniach. So we have to now jack up the number from 4 to 8. Let me just go over that one more time. A little bit complicated, but not too complicated. Once you get to the Drabonans, then in fact, you have to double your number. Why? Because in each scenario, there are going to be 2 participants. Each one is in violation of a Drabonan. So when you get to Shein Arba and Shein Arba, which means another 2 and another 2, what you're really doing in each of those 2 and each of those both of those cases of 2, you're really adding 4, because there are 2 participants in each case. So Gemara says, and if you want to calculate all the cases of Turim, Shitzarei Avion. In truth, there are 16 different scenarios. Why? Because let's go back to the original Shtayim and Shtayim, which we said that the Ani is Chayev for a full-fledged Malacha, either it's Hotsa and Haknos, and the same for the Balabais. Well, there are 2 participants, correct? But Rabbo said, what did we say about those 2 cases of Doraisa? The other participant is what? Who remembers the word that we used?
Okay.
Totally passive. Amalei holo kasha. That doesn't bother me. Bishlema, and here we turn to Daf Gimel and Aleph. Bava Doraisa, as far as the first 2 cases of Shtayim and Shtayim, Shtayim of a Hotzon Achnos of the Oni, and Shtayim of a Hotzon Achnos of the Balabayis, Potter Umutter Loketani. The Mishnah is not going to calculate the other participant who was totally passive and didn't even violate a drabbanon. El above the seifa, but in the cases of 4 and 4, right, the other Shein Arba, Shein Arba, where you have both an Oker and a Meniach, the Potter Aval Asur. That's a case of Potter Aval Asur. meaning that both the Baal Bais and the Ani, so far as one did the Akira, the other did the Hanocha, they both were in violation of a Drabanan. And now we're going to take those last four scenarios of participation, and we're going to calculate how many people have violated a Drabanan, and the answer is 8. Kasha. So the Gemara says that we have a problem over here because it doesn't make sense that you end up with Stein Shein Arba and Stein Shein Arba. And the next sugya that Amir Sashem will learn tomorrow, what the Gemara is going to try to do is going to try to say that in those four scenarios where there's a participation of Zeh Oker and Zeh Meniach, one of the two participants, in a sense, is more guilty than the other participant. You remember we said that there are three parts to the Malacha of Hotzah. There's Akira, there's Shini Rishus, and then there's Hanocha. In all the four scenarios of Shnayim, where there are two people participating, one is going to be guilty of two-thirds of the Malacha, and the other is going to be guilty of only one-third of Malacha. And the other point that we're going to make tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, is going to be that it's very strange that the word potter here in our Mishnah means potter umutter. I mean, is there such a thing where the word potter could possibly mean mutter? And that's going to be the three exceptional cases, one of which we learned here, where the word potter means even mutter. Okay, then we're mostly now for the questions. Yeah, please, Michael.
In the first case...
The shiur is officially over, you know.
In the first case, where the Oni does the Akira,
yeah,
and he takes it and puts it into the Balabai's hand, and you say the Balabai is Poto, and it's mutter for him, because he's not done an action, he's just holding it.
Right.
So he has to hold it like that forever. I mean, what happens after that? How is he mutter? Because at some stage he's going to have to put the object down.
Well, no, the Oni is going to take the object out of his hand.
No.
In the Oni
takes the object, he puts it...
Right, so now the Malachas Hotzah is complete. Once the Malachas Hotzah is complete, he can do with the object whatever he wants.
So once it's in his hand, he can then put it down. Right. And he's not...
Right, there's no problem with that. Because he didn't do any Akira, he didn't do any Shini Rishos, he was just passively receiving the object.
But
now
he can put it down.
Now he can put it down. He's allowed to put it down. Now there's another question here. Now I just want to point out for anyone who's interested that in addition to Tosfos, which is published on the page like in any other Masechta, you'll see if you have the classic Gemara Bavli, there's another Tosfos which is called Tosfos Yeshanim. And that's, let's say if you look on Daf Gimel, for example, you'll see the Tosfos Yeshanim on the right side of the page. So the Tosfos Yeshanim points out that the Baal Bais is not such a tzaddik either, even if he's passive. Anybody know what violation he's guilty of? Exactly, Lifneiver. So that's the Tosfos Yeshanim here on Daf Gimel. Right. The Tosfos Yeshanim is going to say that there are two categories of violations. There's Shabbos violations, and then there are other violations that happen to happen on Shabbos. So Lifneiver is not a Shabbos violation, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't make any mention of that violation.
Where is the Tosfos Yeshanim?
I don't know, every Gemara is a little different. I'll just, if you come around here, Doc, I'll show it to you in my Gemara. This is called the Tosfos Yeshanim. You should have it. Yeah.